Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 224. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
And we're going to talk a couple new movies tonight that, unfortunately, you didn't get to go see anything.
Nope.
Actually, it might have been fortunately in some cases. So you guys get to, this would be a real test in how much I can hold at least Chris's attention tonight. Because I saw a couple movies that are new and we'll talk about them. But I guess real quick at the top, or maybe not so quick, let's do some TV talk again.
Yeah.
I feel like there's like a lot going on, especially this whole year with TV, but it's a few things I wanted to touch on. Number one being, have you been watching The Watchmen at all?
Have not. It's on my list of stuff to watch, but I have not gotten to it yet.
So I think I've seen every episode so far.
Okay.
I think we're maybe halfway through the season so far. And like, I like it. It's good. And there's a lot of good things about it. But like, I don't think I'm as willing to go as far as some people are. Like, some people are like, oh my God, this show is amazing. And this is the best show of the year. I don't know, man. There's a lot of stiff competition this year. I mean, a lot of really good TV.
It's been a good year for TV.
Like, I think Watchmen is, like, it looks really awesome. Like, I love how, like, the all the characters look. Like, they're, like, kind of, quote-unquote, superhero characters or whatever. Like, their costume and shit. Even though I think most of them don't actually have superpowers. Anyways, I like, also, I mean, I like a lot of things about it. And of course, the soundtrack by Trent Reznor and his boy, something Atticus, whatever, it's really, really good.
Atticus Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'm liking it, but it's like, you know, one thing I will say is that, like, it's really, really confusing. And I don't know that I've never seen the movie Watchmen, and I never read the graphic novel or whatever.
Okay.
So, like, maybe that's why I'm in the dark, but from what I've heard, that, like, maybe not, because, like, it doesn't really, it's its own thing that I think is a sequel to Watchmen.
Yeah, it's, from what I understand, and I haven't seen it yet, it all takes place after, you know, the movie timeline, which follows along with the you know, the graphic novel, the serial of Watchmen, so it's all like 40 years or something in the future, from my understanding.
Yeah, from and it's like, you know, from what I understood, like, you know, the original was like really like a response to the 80s, and this very much feels like a response to right now. Like, it's a lot about like racism and a kind of race war that is happening in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Between, like, this group called the Something Cavalry. I can't remember their name exactly. The 7th Cavalry or something like that. It's, like, basically the KKK again. And they've, like, gone after the police because the police went after them. And now all the police, like, wear masks to hide their identity because they don't want to get killed at their homes. And that kind of, like, creates all these, like, character, like, you know, like, I forgot the one girl's name. It's like Knight something. There's one guy that wears like a reflective fucking mask who's called Looking Glass. And so it's like, they're not really like superheroes, but they kind of look like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the explanation is they're trying to cover their identities and shit. Pretty, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm really enjoying it so far, but it's like, I do feel that by, like, the 5th episode of the show, like, I should have a better grasp on what's going on. Like, there's this, I think it, this Adrian Veidt character. Do you know who that is?
Who's that?
Adrian Veidt, I think his name is.
Off the top of my head, no. I haven't done anything with Watchmen in a long time, though.
I think he's Dr. Manhattan?
That's a name I know.
Okay, it's like, is Dr. Manhattan, like, banished to, like, Mars or some shit? And, like,
That is a thing that may have happened in the graphic novel. There's some, like, weird shit that happens in the graphic novel they did not adapt for the movie, so.
Yeah, it's like, this dude, I think he's on Mars, but it looks like Earth, like it has an atmosphere and everything. And, but he's like trying to get off this planet that he's on. And he's like making all these clones, and he's making like all these clones are helping him build this giant catapult that he used to like launch himself into space. And it's just like
catapult himself back to Earth.
Yeah. And I just don't know. Like, I have no grasp on like who he is, why he is, like, why he's out there, like why he's banished, why he's trying to get back, what his deal is. He predicted who would be the president in 1990 back in the 80s. And you're just like, what does any of this mean? Like, so it's really like, I feel like it's a little challenging, and I think it could be a turnoff for some people, but the show is so well made and interesting that it's kind of pulling me along, and it's wanting me to like, like, despite the fact that I feel lost through at least 50% of every episode I've seen so far, I'm like, there's something here. Like, this is interesting, and I want to see where it goes, and I hope, like, it all makes sense by the end. So anyways, that's Watchmen so far. I wanted to talk to you more about Disney Plus, though.
Okay.
I've seen some of your, like activity on Letterboxd, and so I kind of assumed... I didn't put two and two together with Sister Act. I was like,
that's weird, right?
I was like, why is Chris watching Sister Act? But I also saw you watching like all the Star Wars movies. And I heard that on Disney Plus, they've been uploaded in 4K and stuff. And I was just wondering if you watched any of them on there and what you thought of the 4K presentation.
Yeah, so... I think I watched the original trilogy on Disney Plus in like different formats. Like I watched some of like A New Hope on my phone while I was at work. I watched the rest of it when I got home. I watched most of Empire on my phone and then some on my laptop, and Return of the Jedi on the Xbox at home on the big TV. It looks good. It's a, you know, it's a nice transfer. I don't know. It's, I think we're getting like those movies looked good anyway. The transfer they did
the
Blu-rays were excellent. Well,
go ahead. But I had a secret reason I was asking this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it looks like anything like significantly better than those Blu-rays. Okay. But I mean, I am a sucker for continuing to like buy that stuff when it comes out anyway. So, it's a nice looking presentation of it.
Okay, the reason I asked this is because I wanted to do like a real quick like kind of thoughts on like 4K, because honestly, dude, I don't know that I could tell the difference. Like, some movies do look really good and probably better than the Blu-ray, but it's like, I think I'm at the point now where I'm like, you know what? I could buy a Blu-ray. Most Blu-rays are really cheap now, like $10.
Yep.
And some of these 4K Ultra HD discs are like
$30.
Yeah.
Or more.
And honestly, it's like, some of them, I couldn't tell you the difference. The main difference I could tell you is it makes my Xbox run way louder. Like, it sounds like it's struggling to play the disc. I mean, 4K does look great, but so does 1080p to me. Like, I think it's really hard to tell the difference in a lot of cases.
I think what's more impressive that came along with 4K is the HDR stuff. Like, the HDR, the high dynamic range of colors on your screen. I think it's more outwardly impressive than like just the higher res of 4K. Like, unless you're specifically filming in 4K, I'm not sure that we're catching everything. And like these older films like Star Wars, Empire, like, you know, they can do as much as they can to clean up that old print, but they weren't filmed for that. So
maybe that's some of it. Like, a lot of the stuff I own on 4K is older movies because, well, one, I like those movies, but two, like, those are like the cheaper 4Ks usually. Like,
sure. Yeah.
But honestly, I think one of the best looking 4Ks I have is Predator, like, which is from the 80s. It looks fucking awesome. But
yeah, which means that they did a really good job on, on cleaning it up and getting a new transfer of it. And
sound wise too.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's yeah, like, I think sound is so important, and that's not really, has nothing to do with the visuals of it, but if you get a good sound transfer.
Well, that's a big part of this of era watching, too. Like, so I need to get a sound bar. I still just use my TV, like the speakers that are built into the TV. I'm pushing for one for Christmas. So anything else on like Disney Plus you wanted to touch on, or just TV in general? I don't know what you've been up to.
So I watched the second episode of The Mandalorian. It's good. I like it. I like the TV show. I think I said this last week. I like the way it's presented in that we're getting it week to week instead of them dumping all 8 episodes at once.
Yeah.
Because I've had some like good conversations with people about it. And there's been some cool articles like it's staying in the public mind. It's keeping, you know, Star Wars at the tip of the spear right now for people. And that's fun for me as a huge Star Wars fan. But the second episode didn't do a whole lot. It's kind of like, I don't really know where they're going with it, but the episode wasn't like, oh, this is super impressive. It was like, it is what it is. It's like, they're going to do stuff coming forward, I guess. But this was almost like a filler episode, which feels weird in a show that's only 8 episodes long. It was only, like, it was only a half an hour long, like the episode. So like, these aren't even consistently going to be like 40 minutes or, and that could mean that there's, you know, episode 6 ends up being, you know, over an hour long.
But I kind of like when shows do that though, where it's like, I don't know what it's going to be next week.
Yeah. Like, and that means like, we're not trying to fit, there's not filler scenes. Like, this whole episode was filler, but there's no filler scenes in the episode because we've told the story we wanted to tell, which was this little filler thing where, you know, there's Jawas and baby Yodas.
Yeah, that's the big thing I saw that like the internet wouldn't shut up about for a day or two.
Yeah, and like that was the cool reveal at the end of the first episode. And it was like,
everyone was treating it as a huge spoiler. I mean, I guess it is, but I don't know. He's cute. I'm happy to see him. I don't have the fucking Disney Plus. So.
Super cute. But yeah, it's not. I mean, it's
not Yoda.
It's a big thing, but yeah, it's not Yoda. Well, as far as we could tell, but it is. It's a big deal to Star Wars fans because there's only ever been 2 of Yoda's species ever seen, and they're never talked about outside of the extended universe and stuff. Like, we don't know what they're even called.
Was there another Yoda in the movies?
So in the prequels, there is a Jedi master called Yaddle, who is a female Yoda type creature. And you see her, but there's never been, like, there's been Yoda and this weird Yaddle thing. So we've never seen one. Now there's baby Yoda, baby Y, as I've been referring to it on a message boards and stuff, but yeah, it's cool. So watch that. As you said, watch Sister Act. So my letterbox looks a little weird. That just came up. I was like, yeah, we just got Disney Plus. I'm like, it's a pretty good family service. Okay, why don't we have family movie night? And they were like, well, what are we watching? And like, I don't know. And I thought we were gonna like land on something else. And Mo's like, what about Sister Act? I like that one. And like, the first one's pretty good. Like, the first one's a good movie. Then we finished that, and it was still early, and they were like, well, let's watch another one.
It's a double feature.
Yeah, my wife was like, well, let's watch Sister Act 2. And I'm like, no. It's a bad movie. It's not as bad as I remember. It's not good, but it's watchable. But yeah, it's whatever.
That's so funny.
But in terms of TV, the only other thing I've really watched is Batwoman. Watched first 4 or 5 episodes of that. It's on CW. It's one of those interconnected shows with Arrow and... you know, the premise is Batman's disappeared. We don't know where he is, don't know where Bruce Wayne is, but his not niece, his cousin, Kate Kane, kind of discovers the Batcave and takes on the persona of Batman as Batwoman. I like it. I've heard other people don't. It's like, I don't know. This is what I want out of a weekly Batman show. It just happens to be a woman as Batman, but you know, it's Batman doing Batman shit, like in a weekly TV show.
That Gotham show was not part of that, right? Like that's not a CW show.
No, no. Yeah. So that was on Fox, and that was weird. Like, I heard it got better after the first season.
Earl was a big fan of it, I think.
Yeah, Earl liked it. It's an interesting take on Batman, I guess, but because it takes place in like an alternate universe where Batman's not Batman yet. He's like just a teenage kid, and you're viewing kind of their origins in a way, but not. I don't know. It's a weird thing. But yeah, Gotham has nothing to do with the CW stuff at all. That's like Supergirl, Arrow, Flash. I don't watch any of them.
Yeah, I have not seen, like, I can't really add much of note to this because I have not seen any of it. I can barely keep up with the superhero movies, and I actually don't keep up with the superhero right. movies. Yeah,
there's so much. And then, like, if you get, like, my kids watch it, like, I just, like, there's, like, five different fucking DC shows or something like that. I'm like, that's too much. I don't have 5 hours of time to watch superhero shit each week, even if I like it. Like, it's too much. So the Batwoman stuff, I'm liking. That's it.
Well, I guess we'll maybe have some more TV talk going forward. I'm really excited actually for that category when we do end of the year stuff. Cause like, mm-hmm. dude, TV is just like, I don't even know. Like, I think I've hit down to like two different shows I think were the best, but I mean, there was just, I'll read the list to you at some point. There's just so much shit that came out this year. But let's talk about the movies that I ended up seeing this week. And we'll start with the big one that I think took over the box office this last weekend.
Yeah.
Ford versus Ferrari, which tells the true story of how Ford won the 1966 24 Hours of Le Mans race. Or Le Mans, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
And that's basically what it is. It's these two guys, this driver played by Christian Bale and this kind of former driver / auto shop guy played by Matt Damon. They kind of get tasked by, Ford to come up with a car that can beat Ferrari. It's the plot of this movie. It's a true story. It's fine, I guess. I'm starting nice.
Okay.
This movie sits at, it's got a 92% from critics on Rotten Tomatoes and a 99% from the audience. And the best I could figure is that, like, it's inoffensive and it's kind of like trying to be one of those like old fashioned fucking Oscar type kind of crowd pleaser dramas where it's like, just a story about, real people, real characters, real shit, real life stuff, nothing blowing up, right. Like, going and for that vibe.
Kind of a sports movie, too. Like,
yeah, yeah. But, like, for me, like, this thing is, like, riddled with problems. Like, it's watchable. It's inoffensive. It's, I think, for a lot of people, they'll just like it because it's a good imitation of that type of movie. But, like, as I was watching it, like, I wasn't bored. All right, so the movie's, like, 2.5 hours long. And I wasn't bored. It wasn't, like, honestly, I didn't feel the length as much as I felt the length to Dr. Sleep. Like, it didn't feel super long.
Okay.
But the whole time, I'm just like, what is the point, like, you're trying to make? Like, really, I was just like, it starts off with the speech about how you know, like this voiceover speech from Matt Damon about how at a certain point, once you get over 7,000 RPM, everything becomes a blur. And then it's just you moving through time and space. The machine disappears and you're moving through time and space. And it becomes a question of who are you? And I'm like, okay, like, ooh, what is that? What is that? Like, what are you trying to say there? Like, and he does that speech, like, they, spoilers, that's how they close the movie with him giving that same speech. And I'm like, you're really saying a whole lot of, like, nothing. Like, it.
Yeah, that sounds like
it's fluff.
Metaphysical mumbo jumbo.
It's fluff. And just like, all right, so movie's called Ford versus Ferrari, and you're supposed to be rooting for Ford to beat Ferrari, but it's like, even within the film, it's depicted as Ferrari is like this small Italian company that like lovingly handcrafts like fucking five cars a year, and this soulless mega corporation wants to take it on so that, like, I don't know, Ford could seem hip again with, you know, the younger generation. And so they're like, oh, we need to like get into this racing thing and win a race. And so like Ford just throws like so much money at it that they fucking win. I'm like, okay. And I'm supposed to fucking like one root for Ford and two care. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, and if you talk to anybody like that is a defender of this movie, they'll be like, well, no, that's not the thing, is like, you're not supposed to root for Ford really. Like, Ford is kind of depicted as bad in this. But at the same time, like, that's the thing. The movie is so muddled. Like, it's just like, Ford is bad, but I'm supposed to root for them because the guys are working, like, these cogs in the machine. They're like trying to make greatness and, you know, create true greatness in under the like crushing pressure of this, you know, corporation. What were you going to say, Chris?
Well, like, the name of the fucking movie is Ford versus Ferrari. Yeah. Like, it's not Shelby and Shelby and what's his name versus corporate America versus Ferrari. Like, it's like, there's a way to maybe present this as like Matt Damon and Christian Bale as, and maybe they do, I haven't seen it obviously, maybe they do present them as kind of the, you know, plucky underdogs here trying to work within the corporate structure to take down.
Yeah, they kind of try, like they're trying everything. Like, that's the thing, is like the movie, I think, you know, like a good movie like this has like a point, and it's just like, that's one of the points, but also America and fucking we're the best. Like, that's kind of like like when you look at like a good like sports movie, it's often about like discovering who you are and like, are you good enough? Like, think of like Rocky, where it's like this underdog, like, can I compete? And the two guys here, they're just treated as these big swinging dicks the whole time. It's like, they're the greatest, they're the best, you know, Matt Damon and Christian Bale, they're so fucking awesome. And if everyone would just listen to them, then you guys would win. Like, that's the point of the movie. It's like, that's not interesting. There's nothing really human about that.
No, and maybe the problem is like this is a story that, like, while it's true, isn't worth telling.
It's not like, super interesting. Yeah. Like again, because I'm like, why do I care about this? Like, if you're not into the history of this, I don't know. Like,
but it doesn't even sound like if you're into the history of it that it's all that fascinating. I mean, like,
I've heard reviews from people that are super into racing that thought it was really good. But you know, okay, they also will point out all of the like things that are not true and the inconsistencies and all that. I don't care about any of that. I just want a compelling drama, and I think like this fails on that front.
Right, like I can see where like a true sports story can suffer from those problems, but like I look at something like Miracle, which,
yeah,
like it takes the drama, like the inherent drama of the U.S. as the underdog fighting against the USSR and winning the gold medal against all odds. Like,
and there's an inherent thing there where you want America to beat the USSR.
Right.
I don't necessarily want America to beat Ferrari. Ferrari seems like the good guy to me here.
Yeah, and like, yeah, like, what? Why should we cheer for Ford? Why should we cheer for this like shitty, mass-produced?
Yeah,
you know, like what's the hook to cheer for Ford? Like, outside of just, like outside of Carol Shelby and Ken Miles being like,
they're so awesome. They're so awesome. That's it. That's kind of it, dude.
Like, so it's like cheer for the cool dudes. Like, yeah. Like, and that, like, honestly, like, I saw the trailers. I don't know anything about this story. I don't really care anything about this story. But like the fact that like Matt Damon and Christian Bale, like that trailer at least sold me on their charisma, and I was like, yeah, I could watch that.
I mean, but, I really like both these actors. They're fine in it. They're good,
right? But it sounds like at 2.5 hours and like with nothing around it that's compelling, like you really have to be in there for their charisma and them working with each other, because otherwise I'm not sure that I'm like into this. Like,
and the other thing is like, if it's supposed to be about these guys working within the corporate system to like do something great, then it fails on that front too, because of how it ends. And I understand, like, this is based on something that actually happened. But once again, you just made the point. Well, maybe it didn't need to be a movie. Like,
right.
Because the way it ends, I'm trying not to, like, totally spoil it. But, like, the way it ends is, like, they're told to do something by the corporation that's really stupid. And they're like, should we do it? Should we not? And Matt Damon tells Christian Bale, like, you know what, dude? Your call. And Christian Bale is like this fucking stubborn, I do things my way guy the whole way. And then the very end, he decides to do what the corporation tells him to do. And, you know, he decides like to be a team player and do what the corporation tells him to do. And it's like, clearly the wrong decision. But, like, that's the thing. It's, like, the message is so muddled here. I'm not even sure if Mangold was trying to say, like, you know, what he did was he did the right thing, but it was a bad result. Or or he did the wrong thing. Like, he should have just listened to his heart. Like, I don't – because, again, like, this movie is all fluff and nothing to say. It really is. Like, I walked away from it going – you know what? I didn't think that was very good, but I didn't hate it. I could see why, like, some people might enjoy it. And the more I think about it, I'm like, no, because this really is, like, it's an imitation of a good movie. It's
like he took, like, hey, I watched all these cool, like, sports movies, and I know how to do one of these now. Let's take this story that's boring.
Normally, you know, nothing to say. You know, Mangold's pretty good. Like, I really like some of his movies. Like, even going back to, like, Copland, I think it's a really cool movie. I don't really blame him. I just blame the script. And I blame, like, did this... There's probably a way to do this that was better. But this is not... I don't think it's very good. And there's a lot of things that it's like... Like, I, you know, I don't know a lot about this world. But what I do know about, you know, auto racing and stuff is like, I know that it's much more physically exhausting than it looks. Like, you think, oh yeah, you're in a car, you just push the pedal to the metal and steer the, you know, steer. I know that it's like, it's a workout for your body, right? And so, like, the whole time they're like, there's this 24-hour race, and I'm like, what are the logistics of this? I'm like, how the fuck is Christian Bale going to drive for 24 hours when it looks like, you know, this type of driving would take a lot out of you in like 5 minutes, you know? Like, how is this possible? And then I find out like there is a scene in the movie that like there's like maybe one and a half scenes that hint at the fact that he's not the only driver of the car. Like they rotate four different drivers in and out. Movie never shows any of the other drivers. You see there's like one part where the race is still going on, and you see Christian Bale catching some Z's, and I'm like, oh, that's not how he's not doing it the whole time. And then it made me mad that I'm like, oh, so you made it all about how awesome this one dude fucking was. What about the other guy? There's three other guys that he's 25% of this equation. Like, it's weird. Like, I understand you have to dramatize things and stuff, but it's like, it felt sloppy to me. It felt like I felt like you should have somehow explained this better for people who are not right. like racing like, fans.
Up until you know, you said, I caught you saying this on Twitter earlier,
so, yeah.
But honestly, my experience with, I don't follow racing. So my experience with like the 24 hours of Le Mans is through video games. And, like these endurance races, like there are games that like have you play these things, and it's like
what games? Right. Like,
I mean, there's actually a 24 hours Le Mans video game out there. I've never played really? That one, but I've played like Gran Turismo has endurance races, and it's like, and you hear like, you know, when you hear podcasts and people talk about them, they compare it to like, oh, this is like doing that. I'm like, and this would be fucking insane. Like, if you had to drive 24 hours straight. Like, but I'm reading it right now, and like, you don't, like, most teams have at least three people on their team to rotate in and out. So it seems weird that like you would just skip over the fact that he's part of a team. He might be the lead on the team. He might like have the most relationship, you know, through Carroll Shelby, and like their relationship is what might drive it. But you can't just ignore the rest of the fact that.
I think like
that there's more team members.
I think maybe there could have been a more interesting movie if you really made it about how they win this race, like for real, how they win this race, like, and not be glib and gloss over everything to make it like a drama.
Right.
Find the drama in the actual thing that they're doing more than this weird, like super muddled corporate like message. I don't know. This thing just didn't work for me. And then on top of it, there's like this really sentimental, like sad ending that feels completely tacked on, that like comes out of nowhere after like the movie probably should have just ended before that. Again, not to just spoil anything, but like, you know, something bad happens at the end after the entire story's already been told. It's just, God, there was just not a lot here to really, like, the racing scenes look good. Like, there's some creativity in how it's shot. Like, you know, you could kind of feel like, oh man, this is fucking exciting. But it's like, it helps when I'm invested in why any of this is happening and not going, what the fuck do I care about Ford? Fuck Ford. You know, like, I'm on the side of fucking Ferrari in this. So I, you know, I had no interest in this. This is one that my girlfriend wanted to see, and it's not like I'm hating on it because I didn't want to see it. I went in going, okay, maybe this will be like an Oscar level drama. Like, I was really hoping, and I saw like the ratings, so I was like, you know, hey, fuck, this might be really good. And just I thought really flat and kind of dull to me. So, 2 stars, Chris.
Okay.
It's in a void for me. Like, honestly, I'll never see it again, and I won't remember anything about it 6 months from now. So,
fair enough.
I don't like, we'll end on a much brighter note, which is I rented a film called The Peanut Butter Falcon, which just came out. Like, I think it's just available for rent now on like on demand and Amazon and shit, right?
Okay.
And this is like kind of comedy, drama, adventure type film that stars Shia LaBeouf. And The premise here is there's like this 22-year-old guy with Down syndrome who's played by, I think, Zach Gottsagen. And he's like living in this retirement home because he's got no one to take care of him, and that's where the state put him. And he like escapes because he doesn't want to be there. And he runs into this like troubled young guy played by Shia LaBeouf, who's like a thief. And they kind of strike up this like unlikely friendship and kind of begin a like road trip together through the South. That's kind of like the basic premise of this. Like, there's a little more to it. Like, you know, Shia LaBeouf is a thief, and there's these guys that are kind of after him because he like stole some of their crabs. Like, he's like, Shia LaBeouf's like a fisherman type guy, and he like steals these guys' crabs, and he actually like destroys a bunch of their equipment and shit. And so like these guys are like out to like really hurt him. The other character, the guy with Down syndrome, he like doesn't want to live in this retirement home, but he also like wants to go to this wrestling school that's down in like it's in Georgia or South Carolina, somewhere down there right before Florida. He wants to go to this wrestling school. So these two kind of like strike up a friendship. Shia LaBeouf's like on the run anyways, and he's like, I'll help you get to this wrestling school. That's kind of basically it.
Okay. Like the movie, road trip movie?
Yeah, like a road trip kind of friendship type movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And frequently very, very funny. Like I was laugh out loud laughing at this thing at a lot of points. And it'll go from like, you know, super funny moment to one that's like pretty emotionally powerful where you're just like, you know, kind of like gut punches you. We're like, damn, dude. And I'm trying to think of like what else I would want to say about this. I don't want to like spoil it, but you know, very much in the spirit of, you know, in the movie even like kind of calls it out of like a, you know, Mark Twain type story, like, you know, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn type stuff. And one thing I really liked about it, and I liked it before the movie makes a point of pointing it out too, is like the way people talk to people that are like mentally challenged is often kind of like this baby talk, or like people do it with like little kids too.
Yeah.
Like, think of little kids. People do the, you know, are you doing okay, buddy? And like, you know, like that. Yeah. And like, I think people sometimes look at me as like a weirdo because like when I'm talking to a little kid, I talk to them just like a normal person, right? Because that's what they are. They're little people, you know? And I don't do like that baby talk shit. Like that's kind of like a big part of this movie is like Shia LaBeouf's character is very unassuming about this other character. Like he just treats him like anybody else, right? And I think that's like a big part of why they click and why they begin to kind of like help each other in a way. And then there is a scene where there's another character talking to the man with the Down syndrome, and Shia LaBeouf calls him out. They're like, why are you talking to him like that, dude? You're making him feel like he's a fucking idiot. Like, just because you don't have to talk to, just talk to him like a person. And I was like, I really appreciated that whole angle going on in this. But there's a lot to really enjoy in this. Like, there's a big wrestling match near the end of the film that I was more invested in than the wrestling match at the end of Fighting With My Family. I was like totally into what was going on here. And it's actually like suspenseful. Like there's things happening in and outside the ring where you're like, oh fuck, oh no, oh no, oh no. Right. Like, and it's not like, it's not a movie that's normally really about suspense. Like there is this danger of the outside, like these guys that are chasing him down. But, you know, mostly it's just like this fun kind of road trip movie. But, you know, with some really touching moments. I guess one other person I should mention is, well, there's a couple people I should mention. Like John Hawks is one of the guys chasing him down. Bruce Dern is one of the old guys in the retirement home. Dakota Johnson is like a worker from the retirement home who gets tasked with trying to track this kid down once he breaks out. And she's good in it. Just all around, like, I don't know if it sounds super like awesome from the premise, but I really enjoyed my time with this. It's like a 98-minute movie too. Like, doesn't overstay its welcome. I think some people will feel like it doesn't build to a big enough ending and that like the ending is kind of abrupt, but I thought the ending kind of gave me everything I wanted, left me feeling like hopeful for the future, which is kind of like, this is kind of a feel good movie, you know? And it's the kind of movie that I kind of complain we don't get enough of, which is just like a good drama with a couple of characters. It's like Ford versus Ferrari tries to be a good drama with a couple of characters, and it's like $150 million of dog shit or whatever the fuck the budget was on this.
Right.
On it. And Peanut Butter Falcon, a couple million bucks, and I think it's really great. So I'm saying it's like a high priority rental for people. It flew under the radar, and I'd say put it, you know, near the top of your list. Check it out before the end of the year.
Being her, it's my mom went to go see it when it was in theaters, and
oh yeah,
I should probably ask her how she liked it. Like, it wasn't something that was on my radar. It was, so I'm going to see this movie called Peanut Butter Falcon. Like, okay, cool.
I bet you if you ask her, she'll say that she really liked it. And that, I think the title kind of sucks, like the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, what the fuck does that mean? And I mean, it does make sense once you see the movie. You'll know what the Peanut Butter Falcon is. But yeah, it's a high recommend for me. Oh, another, like, so lots of small characters, but Thomas Hayden Church shows up as this wrestler, like, former wrestler that that one of the main, you know, the kid that's really into the wrestling is into.
Right.
I don't know. Lots of, like, people, like, did you be like, oh, I know that guy. They, like, pop up in this, you know, good like, little character actors and stuff. Yeah, again, I think this one is, like, super underappreciated, and I'm going to give it 4 stars, but, like, as of right now, it's, like, definitely probably going to be on my top 10 near the end of the year, so I don't think I could give it much higher praise than that, so nice. Check it out. It's, you know, again, it's out for rental. It's not available for free on anything, but it's out there for a rental.
Right.
I think that's it for this week.
Yeah, it's a light week.
And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's out for next week. I don't know what I'll have.
I think it's going to be a light week again. I was kind of looking forward to 21 Bridges, but evidently that's not good.
It's not good. Yeah, it doesn't totally surprise me.
I might still go see it anyway, but
when does Knives Out come out?
Comes out on Wednesday, so I could go see it on Wednesday before we record.
Oh, so next
yeah, it comes out the day before Thanksgiving. But I think it's one my wife was interested in, like, based on the trailers that we saw. Like, she seemed like she wanted to go see it too, so we might wait. I might wait to see it over, like, Thanksgiving break.
So yeah, we probably won't have that for next week, but that's one of the few movies I'm really looking forward to for the rest of the year. So, you know, I guess it'll be, how do you say it? Like a game day decision.
Yeah, we'll see. We might not have anything to cover.
If there's not enough, maybe there won't be. We will be back the following week with, Knives Out The Irishman. We're a week out from The Irishman as well.
And I'll have seen Frozen 2 at that point as well. So,
well, shit. We might have to do an episode next. That's the one movie I have here where I'm like, I would go see that. Like, I liked Frozen 1, but, like, I don't know if I liked it enough where I'm like, I gotta go see the sequel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so. I mean, I'm not, like, super pumped for it, but it's gonna be our Thanksgiving movie. That we go see on Thanksgiving.
You won't be seeing it this week.
No, I won't see it until Thanksgiving. All, like, taking the kids on that, we go to a movie every Thanksgiving.
You got and, dude, what you're supposed to do on Thanksgiving is gather an entire family around Netflix and watch 3.5 hours of The Irishman. That's the proper Thanksgiving.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's Thanksgiving. I mean, it's
we've been doing it wrong all this time.
I'm just so, like, I don't know. I think as soon as that movie hits, I'm going to be up all night fucking watching it. And then watching it again. So we have those to look forward to. It sounds like maybe we'll be too shorthanded for an episode next week. But yeah, you never know. If we come up with some stuff, we'll be back. Otherwise, we'll be back the following week with fucking Knives Out and The Irishman, two huge movies, which will probably take up the whole episode, and a little bit of Frozen too. So
yeah, yep,
yeah, we'll be back eventually, as we always are.
Movie dudes.